excited. Are you guys excited? Did the video showed, right? I didn't look around. It did show. Okay, good. Fantastic. I just saw my screen. Hey, we are kind of turning a corner in our series that we've been calling Running with the Giants. And we are moving into four giant ladies. You know what? I probably didn't say that right. The Revwell gals are going to get me for saying it that. I mean, giants of faith, honey. Giants of faith. It's going to be exciting. I get to kick it off today with an incredible lady who changed the world. Can't wait to share her with you in just a little bit. But we're going to focus the next 4 weeks. We've covered four guys. We've covered Elisha and Jonah and Isaiah and Jacob. And they've all had something really powerful. They've came out of the stands of that great cloud of witnesses. They've come down and put their arm around us as we are running another lap in the race that God has set out for us. And they've had something encouraging to tell us that helps us out of their life story. That's what their stories are there for, to help us so we can run the race set out for us. In fact, I'm so excited to use my little monitor here today. I love God's Word. I don't know about you, but I love God's Word. Man, when we come together, I want us to feast on God's Word. I want us to learn from God's Word. I want us to ingest God's Word. Jeremiah says, "Your Word, I ate your Word, and it burned like a fire within me, and I couldn't help but speak your Word." I love God's Word. So this little thing gives me an opportunity. This first time I get to try it out, I'm kind of excited. So forgive me. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about our monitors, our new platform, our new screen. Can you thank the Lord for these good things that God's blessed us with? And a lot of hard work. And we're not done. We're not anywhere near done. I was just talking to the team. They're so excited about the new upgrades with the sound system. By the way, can you give that worship team a hand of encouragement this morning? They did a great job. So we're just constantly trying to improve, get better, create a better place, a better experience for all of us together. So you're going to see me, kind of pointing to this, and it's a lot easier than me pointing to that up there and kind of getting my, where I need to be on that. So bear with me. It's just fun. Hebrews 12:1's our theme verse. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, every time there's a therefore in Scripture, you need to ask that simple question, right? What's that therefore? What's that there for? It's prompting us into something very important that we need to listen to. Therefore, since we're surrounded, everybody say surrounded. Did you know you are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses? There are those who've gone before, those who've run the race, those who have succeeded, those who finished well, who are surrounding you today, whether you realize it or not, and they're cheering you on. And that ought to bring huge encouragement to your heart. So let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Notice the word easily is highlighted there for you because this race is not easy. This journey is not easy. How many of you would say amen to that? Every day you have to get up and you have to recommit your heart and your life to Jesus. And you have to depend upon God's Spirit to help you. It isn't easy. You don't just live the Christian life in your own strength and power. G.K. Chesterton said it this way. He said, "It's not that Christianity has been tried and proven wrong. It's that it's been tried and proven difficult." Because you need God to live a Christian life. You can't do it on your own. Amen? This isn't a humanistic philosophy we're talking about. This is a God-centered race where God is in the center of everything in our lives and we're focused on Him. In fact, the verse after this says that we're to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So throw off everything and the sin that so easily entangles and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, I love that part of the verse and just want to highlight it for a moment. There's a race marked out for you. For you. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what your ethnicity is. I don't care what your educational background is. It doesn't matter. There's a race marked out for you. God's got a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. One of the things that I love, love, love to do is to champion people to their purpose, is to encourage people to find their purpose. We're going to do Growth Track today, and part of that's going to be helping people find their purpose. Man, I want to encourage you today. The Word of God wants to encourage you today. God wants to encourage you today. His Spirit wants to encourage you today. These giants of faith who are cheering you on want to encourage you today. Listen, when we get done today, here's what my hope is. That you feel like going bear hunting with a switch, folks. That you feel like charging hell with a water pistol. That you are ready to, you know, to go out there and make a difference in this world. Amen? Come on, that's funny. Come on. Give me at least a courtesy laugh on my little attempt at humor. You know, I mean, the race marked out for us. You've got a life race. God has something in his heart for you. Have you discovered it? Are you running it? Are you passionate about it? Are you leaving other things behind? Paul said, I counted everything else rubble just to know the race God has for me. So guess who's coming out of the stands today? Out of the stands of heaven as a part of this cloud of witnesses, because she's cheering you on. She's an ordinary woman who God did extraordinary things through. Her name is Mary. Everybody say Mary. She's just an ordinary teenage girl. Maybe they say, history says, maybe she was as young as 14. 14 years old. There's nothing special about her. There's nothing before this moment that sets her apart. She's from a nowhere town, kind of on the backside of everything. She's just, you know, Catholic history has tended to make her into something far more than she was according to Scripture. You know the Christmas story. An angel comes to her, says to her, Mary, you're going to get pregnant without ever being with a man. Now, you know, at that point, things got interesting. And then they got even more interesting because the angel says, by the way, the baby that is going to be conceived inside of you, that you are going to carry, that you're going to give birth to, that baby is going to be God. Can you imagine at that point how that news was received by this 14-year-old girl? This is big stuff, folks. So if she came down out of the stands of heaven today, put her arm around you, and ran a lap with you today because she wants you to succeed in this journey, she'd probably say to you, when God asks you to do something outside your comfort zone, don't miss your moment with God. Everybody say, don't miss your moment with God. Let's do it again. You can do better than that. Don't miss your moment with God. This was Mary's moment. The decision, the response that she gives is going to determine everything else about her life. And listen, think about it with me, will you? God's notorious for this. You read Scripture. Think about it. Most of the men and women in the Bible were stretched far outside their comfort zones. But they also would say to you and I, don't miss it. Don't, when that moment comes, when God's call breaks through, when you begin to hear the voice of the Lord, when God begins to show you his plan, don't miss it. Because it's going to change your life, but it's also going to change many other lives. Can you say amen to that? Hey, I just had the opportunity just about a week ago to hang out with one of my heroes of the faith. Her name's Mary Bennett. I love her dearly. She called me this week, by the way. It was so precious just to hear her voice over the phone and know where she was calling from, the deepest valley in the Appalachia Mountains in eastern Kentucky. The valley is 34 miles long. You ought to see the picture. I've got it on my phone. I'll show it to you if you're interested. But it's really quite the place. And Mary grew up there, right across from where she lives now is a little bitty 16-foot by 9-foot house that was built, oh gosh, must have been back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Mary grew up with, there were 14 kids in the family, 14 kids and mom and dad, and the 16 of them lived in that 16-foot by 9-foot house, one room, One room. Imagine that. One room. You know, today we're so spoiled, right? We live in big houses, lots of square footage, lots of rooms. You know, as parents, we think every kid's got to have their own bedroom, and every kid's got to have their own bed, and, you know, and you got to have places to get away and have quiet time and private time. 16 by 9, one room, 16 people. Can you imagine that? By the way, Mary said hi, said she loves you all. This is one of her favorite places. You're one of her favorite people. And get this, she said she's coming back. She's going to be right here on this platform and share her story personally with you guys. She said, I still remember that day. This has been a few years back now that I was with you guys. It's one of my most memorable times. And she said, I want to come back. So I said, please, 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 we want you back. So you're going to hear her story. But, you know, she grew up in this little holler in eastern Kentucky, and she wanted out of there so bad. And she ended up moving to Los Angeles, of all places, went into the military, ended up in Los Angeles. You have to hear the whole story. Lots of stuff happened, and she was a huge success with AT&T, got a job, worked her way up the ranks. She has got a work ethic like you wouldn't believe. And God just honored her, blessed her, and then God called her to go back to eastern Kentucky. It was her God moment. I want you to go back where you grew up, and I want you to make a difference for the kids there. See, nobody was caring for the kids. There were a lot of kids that were being beat and that were being abused, that were being abandoned, and you name it. It was a bad place for kids. And Mary got that call, and today hundreds of kids' lives have been changed because of the love of this lady. She's an amazing woman of God. It was her God moment, and she didn't miss her moment with God. By the way, you got to hear this part of the story. I was there with Glenn Burris, our president, and we're sitting across the table from Mary. She's telling these wonderful stories of things that God's done in her life, and Glenn says, Mary, you got to write a book. You've got to write a book. And she says, well, how about that? I'm in the middle of writing a book. And Glenn goes, great, great. I want to help you get that book published. And it's just the three of us, me, Glenn, and Mary. And I happen to ask the question, who's helping you, Mary? Who's helping you? And she says, well, Karen Slicker. Well, those of you who've been on the mission trip with us to Nicaragua know that name. I see Craig over here shaking his head. She's one of our dear, dear friends who went to Nicaragua with us probably 10 times. Started in the early days. She and her husband are pastors in Dayton, Tennessee, right by Bryan College, where Doug and Beth met, by the way, Sloan. Anyway, Karen's working with it. I said, oh, man, Karen's one of my really, really dear friends. And Glenn said, well, I want to give $1,000 to that project. And then Mary told another story, and Glenn said, let's up it to $5,000. I was like, keep telling some more stories, Mary. Keep telling some more stories. This is going in a good direction. Well, here's what I didn't know, is when Glenn got back to L.A. and got settled in his office there at our headquarters, he talked to his assistant who emailed me and said, oh, by the way, Pastor Jeff, I'm sending you the $5,000 check and you're going to be responsible for administrating this book project. I said, okay, well, I didn't know that, but I'll be glad to serve however I can. So pretty exciting stuff. God often operates in ways that just seem counterintuitive, especially to the ways of the world. Have you noticed that? Just counterintuitive. So let's talk about God moments this morning. God moments often seem impossible, absolutely impossible. If you hear Mary tell her story, she did not want to go back to those hills of eastern Kentucky. And here's what happens most of the time when a God moment comes to Mary of the Bible or Mary Bennett of eastern Kentucky or you and I who are sitting here today. Oftentimes, if we're not careful, here's our first response when God begins to speak something to us. Because of the impossibility of it. And by the way, God dwells in the realm of impossibility. And God loves to make the impossible possible. Amen? That's a good place for an amen. Here's what happens. Our first response is, but I don't understand. But I don't understand. And can I just warn you, don't let that be your limit. Don't let that be the box that you put God in. It's almost like giving him a stiff arm. You know, I'll do this for you, God. I'll do that for you. But that, That seems to be asking a little much. Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 34, it says, you'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. And this is the angel speaking to Mary. He'll be great and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And then look at what Mary says. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. How will this be? This is kind of the question that you and I often ask when God comes to us with something that just seems beyond us, beyond our ability. Listen, I've heard it said, and I believe it's absolutely true. If what God has called you to doesn't scare you, it's probably not God. If what God has called you to doesn't stretch you, it's probably not God. If what God has called you to doesn't require God himself to come through, it's probably not God. What God's calling you to is something bigger than your own strength, your own power, your own ability. And that's exactly what happened with Mary here and my friend Mary in Eastern Kentucky. So how? Our question often is, how? How's this going to be? Can I just say to you, God is the God of the how. You ought to write that down. God is the God of the how. We get lost there. We don't understand. So we make our understanding the limit on what God can and will do through our lives if we're not careful. But God is the God of the how. And I'll show you Mary's response here in just a moment. God knows how to take care of the details. God knows how to work out his plan in your life. You may not see all the steps. You may not realize how he's going to do it. But here's my admonition to you this morning. Don't let your brain override God. Don't let your brain become the limit of the size of your God, because that's exactly what will happen if you have to understand what God wants to do through you. See, miracles are happening all over the world. My dear friend, President Glenn Burris, was here just 2 weeks ago, shared about the little lady in Cambodia who came and prayed over him, and this little lady has seen many, many people raised from the dead. There's some of you here today that whole concept seems so foreign to you. The first thing in hearing that, you would question the validity of that. Let me tell you why. It's because your brains are overriding God. Your need to understand is greater than your trust and your faith in God. And it's not a surprise, because that's the kind of world we live in. That's the kind of world where we want to grasp it. We want to understand it. If you're going to partner with God and have a moment like this that Mary had, you're going to have to let go of understanding. You're going to have to trust. You're going to have to be a person of faith. Listen, God's doing miracles all over the world, and not so much here. I get asked this question a lot of times. Why don't we see miracles here in America? One of the reasons, and I think there are several, our brains are getting in the way. We have to understand, and when we don't understand, we limit. How many of you hearing me this morning? You with me? See, God will challenge you, because God doesn't like to be put in a box. Have you noticed that? Every time I have thought in my mind, in some way, shape, or form, that I had God figured out, he broke out of that box. Every time I thought I kind of had it figured out, I kind of had the 1-2-3 process. Every time I thought, I've got this, God exceeded my thinking. God did something outside the scope of my knowledge, my understanding. So that once again, I had to, in humility, come back to him and say, I'm sorry, God, I you had a different plan, a different purpose in this than I did. See, God has something for us. God has something for us, and he's the God of the how. Let him worry about the details. You know, we live in a world right now where they say knowledge is doubling every 5 years with the advent of the internet and all the things that we've witnessed in our lifetime. That's pretty amazing when you think about it, that knowledge would double every 5 years. In that kind of atmosphere, that kind of world, it's easy to fall into having a dependence upon knowledge and facts and not God. How many of you hearing what I'm saying? Let me just ask you the simple question this morning. Be honest with me. You don't have to answer this out loud, but think about it in your heart. Do you have to understand before you obey? Do you have to figure it out before you'll take a step of faith? Let me just say, if that's so, you'll miss out many times. See, there's other countries around the world where, quite honestly, and I've been there, been to many of them, where poverty's so great, access to medical care is so limited, that there's a lot of people that live today dependent upon a miracle. And why do you think God's doing miracles there and not so much here? Well, we have other things we depend on. They are seeking after God because He's their only answer. I've seen God do some of the most miraculous things outside the context of this country. They see miracles. They need miracles. My friend Byron, I don't know if he's in the room right now or not. There he is. Byron, come up here for just a second. And Trace, give him that mic. I asked Byron if he'd share two quick stories about what's happened at his workplace. And the other day, I just said to him, you know, hey, God's got you there for a reason. He said, oh, I know He does. And he started sharing some stories how he's been sharing Christ with coworkers and then praying for him. Tell him what's happened.
Well, first off, this is not my comfort zone. I'm kind of a quiet person. I keep to myself, and this makes me uneasy. But God,
sorry about that, Byron.
That's okay.
Forgive me.
God calls us not to be comfortable. And for the past few years, I've been praying that God would teach me to love others like He does, to see, to give me His eyes, to see others as He sees them. And I've been praying for a long time with people, praying for healing, praying for, you know, somebody's back to get healed, praying for my back to get healed. And I was doing that out of a sense of, you know, that's what we're called to do. And God's going to heal them because I'm praying for them and I've got that faith and it's going to make it happen. Well, that's not how God works. It's funny that, Glenn, you all sang that song this morning, Fear Doesn't Stand a Chance When You're Standing in His Love. Because I used to think that fear was the strongest emotion out there. But it's not. It's love. Amen. And amen. I was scared to share my faith at work because it's a dark place. But God started to show me how He sees those men at my work. And one of the gentlemen that I work with, his name's Scott, he doesn't work there anymore, he came to me and said, well, this is my last day at work. I have to go in tomorrow. They found throat cancer 3 months ago, and they gave me about 6 months to live. It's stage 4. He got to where he couldn't even eat because the mass in his throat had closed up so much. So I said, well, let me pray for you. Yeah. And he's not a believer. He said, okay. I just prayed a simple prayer and let him know that God loved him and that I loved him. Yeah. I got a phone call the next morning after he had gone in for that surgery and said they couldn't find anything.
Oh, my. Thank
and
you, Lord.
Said, God did a miracle.
Thank you, Lord.
Those are the words. He said, God did a miracle.
Yes.
And it had nothing to do with me. Mm. And I told him that. I said, it's not me. It's not my prayer. Mm. God is gracious enough to let us be a part of His plan.
Mm. Amen. Amen. That's awesome.
And I guess the other story he wanted me to share, there's another coworker, young kid, 20 years old. He He and his wife, they've been married about 4 years. No, I guess he's 22. They've been married 4 years. They've been trying for 4 years to have kids. And the problem was with him. He had where he wasn't producing any sperm. He was, I think his count was like, I don't know, if an average count was 60, he was like at 2. And he asked if I would pray with him, because he was starting to feel that call of God in his life. And I said, sure. And I prayed with him. He came back to work the next day. Said, after we went to the doctor yesterday, my numbers were higher than an average male. And they are now pregnant with twins.
Wow. Wow.
So just...
Thank you, Lord.
It's just a simple matter of obeying God and stepping out of your comfort zone.
Mm. So. Thank you, Barron.
Thank you.
Wow. Barron, thanks so much for sharing that. That is so powerful. So powerful. You must have prayed a double blessing on that last one. That's all I can say. That's awesome. So, you know, let me just say this. We got to the place in the church several years back where the church kind of became a place where people were looking for miracles, and services became so geared around evangelists and miracle prayer lines and this kind of thing. You know, it might be your workplace where God wants to do the miracles. You know, it might be your neighborhood where God wants to do the miracles. It might be the group of ladies that you get with for a book club, or the group of guys you hang out with at the gym, or I don't know. But, you know, it might be outside the church God wants to do some of his best miracles. In the book of John, it's interesting. Every miracle points to Jesus. It's like a sign pointing to Jesus. And, you know, we seem to got to a place there at one point where we were just looking for miracles and kind of enjoying them as a show in God's house. I think God wants to do them to show his love for people that don't know him. Amen? So you and I, let's be conduits of those miracles. Listen, miracles happen when our willingness to trust God intersects with God's plan. And I tell you, there was a concept birthed sometime back by one of my heroes of the faith. It's just simply called power evangelism. And the whole idea is that when you pray for people that don't know the Lord, man, the Lord will show up in ways that he makes himself real to others. So trust God. Don't get lost in your head knowledge. Trust God. Mark chapter 10, verse 27 says this. And this is a powerful verse. Look at this. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. Listen, read it together with me. All things are possible with God. Amen? Can you give the Lord praise about that? All things are possible with God. When God moments come, here's the key. Just say yes. Everybody say yes. Everybody say, Lord, whatever you want to do, I say yes. Amen, amen. Listen, when they come, just say yes. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Here's Mary's response. She's, how is this going to happen? But listen to what she follows it up with. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Yes, God, I am willing. I'm ready. I want to partner with you. I want to not miss this moment. I want you to do what you want to do. Your plan be fulfilled in me, O God. So how do we make it through unanswered or difficult situation? Unanswered prayer, difficult situations, crises. Listen, our hope must weigh more than our questions. Our brains will try to get in the way, but we have an anchor of hope. In fact, our reading today in Hebrews talks about that anchor of hope. Our hope must weigh more than our questions. Mark 5:36, overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. This is another story in the life and ministry of Jesus where Jairus, the, the synagogue ruler comes and says, Lord, my daughter's ill and she's on her deathbed and please come. And Jesus says, yes. And then on his way to pray for her, he's delayed with another opportunity to pray for a woman who's ill. And in the middle of that, they come and they say, it's too late. She's died. No need to bother the master anymore. And Jesus says this, don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. Even when it doesn't look like the way you think it should look like. Even when it's not in the timing that you prefer or desire. Just believe God, amen? Listen, if we were to take a few minutes and kind of enter into the world of Mary, kind of think about her reactions, her feelings, her perspective. A lot of times, you know, I preach the Easter story, from Jesus' perspective or the disciples, but what about Mary's perspective? Mary had questions for sure. Even at the beginning of this story, can you imagine the questions she was bombarded with, the doubts, the wonders, the questioning of how's this all going to work out? Let me give you just a few. She was going to have to face her family. Can you imagine how difficult that would have been? By the way, mom and dad and brothers and sisters, I had a visit from an angel today, and I'm going to be pregnant soon, and the baby I'm going to be carrying is the Son of God. What do you think a normal family is going to do with that? What have you been doing, Mary? Have you been messing around? Who have you been messing around with? And why have you done this? You've brought disgrace on our family. She's going to have to face her family. She's going to have to face Joseph, her fiancé, who very likely, unless God intervenes, which he did, thank the Lord, through a dream, is going to say, well, we're not going to be married now. She's going to have to face, listen, even more scary, the religious leaders, who would have every right to drag her into the street according to Jewish law at that day and time and stone her to death publicly. She's going to have to wrestle with all those questions must have been coming to her mind even as her heart is deciding to say yes to God. Listen, when God comes to you, don't think that you're the only one. Don't think that you have to or the only one who has to wrestle with difficulties, challenges. No, she certainly did. Your God moment, by the way, will open the door for God's best in your life. Your God moment will open the door for God's best in your life. Mary does something really brilliant, by the way. In response to that, she leaves. She gets out of Dodge. She leaves Nazareth. And where she goes? She goes to her cousin, Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1, verse 42 through 45. I love Elizabeth. We named our youngest daughter after Elizabeth, great woman of faith. Mary gets out of Nazareth, goes to Elizabeth's house. Look what Elizabeth says to Mary. And everybody needs a friend like this. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Blessed is she who's believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Blessed, blessed, blessed. You need friends like that. I need friends like that. People who will come alongside you and champion you as you seek to obey God, as you seek to step out in faith. Friends that will stand with you, that will build up your faith. I love Elizabeth. That's awesome. Think about Jesus' life, his ministry. And, you know, the first miracle in Jesus' ministry that's recorded is that miracle at the wedding feast of Cana of Galilee. And Mary says this to Jesus at that first miracle. So this is 30 years later, okay? 30 years later, as Jesus is getting ready to start his public ministry. And there's the wedding, they've ran out of wine. His mother said to the servants, same heart, same attitude as what she had when that angel visited her 30 years earlier. Whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. Now, I can't substantiate this, and maybe I'm even kind of stepping out a little bit and maybe kind of overreaching, but you know, Mary's grown up, Jesus has grown up in Mary's house. Mary's been raising him, caring for him. You know, there might have been some days along the way. Who knows? I don't know for sure, you know, where Mary, you know, said to Jesus, hey, you know, he's just a young boy. Hey, we've ran out of flour today and need you to go down to the store and pick us up some flour, Jesus. And, you know, and Jesus was kind of busy playing with his friends or whatever. And, you know, and Jesus said, well, Mom, check up in that top cupboard, the cabinet. There might be some flour up there that you didn't notice, you know. I don't know. I mean, what do you think? You think Jesus might have done a few things like that along the way? I'm not sure. But anyway, Mary's heart is, whatever he says, do it. Do it. See, God has blessing waiting for us on the other side of what? Obedience. Blessing on the other side of obedience. So as Mary comes down out of these stands today and shares some words of encouragement with you, here's what I think she'd say. Four things real quick. Stay connected to God. Stay connected to God. Luke chapter 2. They hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up. I love that term, treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Can I just say to you that Mary stayed close to God, I believe, through much of this time of wondering how this was going to work out, wondering what this was going to be like to be the mother of the Son of God. She worshiped, I believe. I believe this points to worship, treasuring up. I mean, she's staying close. She's staying connected. And I think that is absolutely key for you and I, as God calls us to things that are beyond us. John chapter 15, verse 5 in the Message. I love this. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic. Look at that, the relation intimate and organic. That's what God wants with you. The harvest is sure to be what? Abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Stay connected to God. Number two, stay connected to your purpose. How'd she make it? Through those years of testing and trial and having to answer so many people and having to be looked at and in a you know, a not so nice way by probably people around her. How'd she make it? She stayed connected to her purpose. That purpose, that promise of God that had been given to her, anchored her. Luke chapter 2, verses 34 and 35. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, Look at this. Said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined. This child is destined. By the way, some of you have kids that are destined too. Probably all of you. You have kids that are destined to make a difference for God, that God has a plan for them, that you need to be shepherding them in such a way that you help them move into their destiny with God. Amen? This child is destined. It goes on to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul says to Timothy, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Every one of you have a spiritual gift, at least one, that's been put into you, placed into you by God himself. So I want to encourage you to go through the growth track. Maybe you've been through before, but go through it again. Until you find your place of service, until you find that place where God wants to use you, because that's going to be the place where God will reveal himself even more. Number three is stay connected to the people who encourage you. She leaves Nazareth. She gets connected to Elizabeth. Bible says she stayed there for 3 months in the home of Elizabeth, who was pouring into her, encouraging her, blessing her. Luke 1, 56, Mary stayed with Elizabeth 3 months and then returned home. Listen, let me just say to you, get in a group. See that small group central back there? Everybody turn and look at that real quick. There's all kinds of groups on that board right back there. We do groups in terms, but there are some groups that continue on where you can find that place of fellowship and you can knit in and have a group of friends that are encouraging you to be and do what God's called you to do. Everybody needs a group. You need people around you that are encouraging you. I love Hebrews 10. I've got a lot highlighted here. Let us hold unswervingly. Man, I love that word. Don't be swerving around. Don't be swerving around. Hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Do you know what statisticians, church growth experts, are telling us? That people in America today are going to church less and less and less. And we're talking about the committed Christians. They're going to church less and less. If a committed Christian used to go 3 out of 4 weeks in a month, now it's down to 2 out of 4. Why is that? Because other things are coming in and taking the place of worship to God. We need to be careful about this. The Word of God says we're to meet together all the more as the day of our Lord's return is approaching. Can you say amen to that? And then lastly, stay connected to the bigger picture. Stay connected to the bigger picture. John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. This is a powerful verse as we end today. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team and the ministry team up as I close out here. Jesus' mother, his aunt, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene stood at the foot of the cross. Again, I want you for a moment to put yourself in Mary's shoes. Look at some things through Mary's eyes. Jesus saw his mother and disciple he loved standing near her, said to his mother, "Woman, here's your son." Then to his disciple, "Here's your mother." From that moment, the disciple accepted her as his own mother. Here's Mary at the end of her son's life that she has loved and cherished and nurtured for 33 years. And she's standing there in front of Jesus as he's hanging on the cross, humiliated, ripped, and bloody. How hard that must have been. You know, you love your kids like we love our kids. And to see them hurt, to see them in a place like this, I can't even imagine it. But it's interesting, isn't it? It mentions those that she was there with, kind of like her small group, her encouragers. How could she endure this? Let me just say very simply, she stayed connected to the bigger picture. She knew his life ultimately was to be a sacrifice to pay the price for the sins of many. Can I just say to you today as we close, folks, as long as we keep our eyes, every one of us here in the room, on the bigger picture that God has, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? Lord, I just pray for anyone in this room today that needs a God moment. Maybe you've never experienced God. Maybe you've never trusted God with your life. Or maybe you have and you've walked away from that long ago. If you need a God moment this morning, would you just pray with me right where you're sitting? From your heart, mean these words. God will hear you. God will answer you. God will touch you. Just say, "Dear God, I need you. I really, really need you. I've messed up along the way. I've sinned. I've done wrong. I've looked for purpose in lots of other places. But today I want to find it in you, God. Forgive me where I've messed up. Receive me as your son or your daughter. Show me your purpose for my life. I trust you. In Jesus' name." If that's you today, I want you to come here in a little bit and let one of these folks up front know the decision you've made. Or you can let one of us know as we dismiss in a moment. Just you can come and tell us. For the rest of us here with every head still bowed, every eye still closed, God's got a plan for you. There's God moments for every one of you in this room. The key is you saying yes. You not having to understand all the details before you step out in obedience. Lord, help us to embrace the God moments you have for each of us. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.